If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
All right, another Sal Sports and Stuff podcast coming at you. 2 days in a row now. I told you I'm going to try and create as much content as possible to keep you going here while we're all at home, quarantined, social distancing, whatever you want to call it. That's what we're doing right now, and I'm here to try and help you get through it. So also, don't forget, got some nice quizzes going on. Sporkle, go follow me there at Sal Sports. Follow me on Twitter at Sal Sports and even click the links to the Sporkle quizzes. We've had a few of those as well. Got a podcast here I wanted to get done because it is official. Tom Brady is now a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The team tweeted that out. They showed the picture of Brady signing the contract. And I have a special guest coming your way in just a little while. It is TJ Reeves. He is the Buccaneers sideline reporter. So got two sideline reporters, one podcast here. In the meantime, I got Max up here. He's playing hockey in the other room in his playroom. I'm in my side of the office. He's on his side of his office, which is his playroom. As I've told you before, you might get some noises while I'm doing this these podcasts these days and whatever's going on. A minute ago, he said he wanted to talk some hockey. Come here, Max. Let's talk some hockey. Let's talk about what's going on with hockey. Come here. All right, buddy. So you love playing hockey. You love playing knee hockey. What happens when you play against Daddy in knee hockey? Who wins?
Me.
No, I think I do.
No,
all the time.
I do.
I totally win all the time. No. All right, so when we play, who are you? What team are you?
Sabres, and he's the...
What team? I'm different teams. What team did I tell you I would be today?
The Oilers.
Edmonton Oilers, and what player?
Connor McDavid.
That's right. And then you said to me, well, you got to get a jersey and write like 97 on it because you knew that was his number. That's pretty cool. All right, he went over and... he's going to play hockey again, so I'll be joining him in just a little while and probably kick his butt like I normally do. In the meantime, what? I'm not going to kick your butt? I always kick your butt in hockey.
No, you don't.
I do. I might kick your butt in hockey, and then I'm going to beat you up.
I'm going to beat you up and do the bull.
Oh, you're going to do the bull when you charge at me? Is that what you're going to do? All right. Go into your room over there and warm up and practice because I'm coming to get you in a little while. In the meantime, going to talk to my buddy TJ Reeves. He is the sideline reporter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Buccaneers Radio Network about Tom Brady, what it means for him to come to Tampa, how it all came together, and his thoughts on that, and even his thoughts on Stephon Diggs coming to the Buffalo Bills from an NFC perspective. All right, TJ, my sideline brother from another mother. Great to have you on. First of all, before anything, how you holding up down there in Florida? You, the girls, the fam, everybody.
We are all good down here, so we're hanging, and just like everybody else right now, taking it a day at a time. The kids are going to be in the house for a while, for those of us that have those. So we're making do, and wow, what news we have. We have NFL free agency this week, and the Buccaneers reel in the big fish here. We got him out of the NFC, out of the AFC East for you, and now the NFC South becomes very intriguing, does it not?
Yeah, let's rewind a little bit. I want to ask you, you know, you've been on the Bucs sideline for many years, more than I have been on the Bills sideline, but we do this for a living. We talk to people. We know some things. You hear some things. Nationally, we started to hear about Tom Brady percolating with the Buccaneers, maybe I'd say about a month ago, and then it really started to ramp up. When did you personally get an inkling that this could be something that they might be interested in doing?
Now it can be told a little bit. I can't reveal everything. I'm not trying to play gotcha guy. I got a secret guy. But as you know, and as you just laid out, we know things all the time that we're not allowed to talk about. Bruce Arians will come forward and probably say this, and it's easy to say now, but Bruce Arians was confident back a month ago that if Tom Brady was going to be available, that they believe they could land him. So they're saying that. there's belief in that, and then there's actually doing it. But the belief that he had a month ago was, hey, if he does not want to go back to New England, I believe we can get him here just because of circumstances galore, Arians' track record with other great quarterbacks like Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger and Andrew Luck and Carson Palmer and on, and even working with Jameis last year. The no state income tax, as you know, you lived down here for a while. Tremendous weather, different lifestyle, different in terms of traffic, in terms of stress with that kind of stuff. There's a lot to love, and then you got a team that's loaded with offensive weapons. So there was a lot to lure Tom Brady with, but the belief from Bruce Arians was there even a month ago privately. But the situation had to play out. I, like many others, found it hard, if not almost impossible, to believe that he was going to leave New England in the first place. So fundamentally, was he going to void his contract and leave New England? That happened, and then the Bucs were able to get the deal done.
I'm on the other side. People will tell you, listeners up here know, I've been basically saying since last August it would be his last year in New England, ever since he signed his contract that said they could not franchise tag him. That was kind of agreed upon, knowing the way that Belichick treats people as they get older, knowing the fact that it's someday it was going to have to come to a head. He couldn't play forever. At some point, they have to say, enough is enough. We have to move on. And it always seemed to me that they wanted to get a little bit younger and a little bit more mobile as this season was going. But I really didn't think that Tampa was going to be a hard-charging team until the end. I really thought it was going to be, you know, the Raiders or the Chargers, maybe even the Dolphins, considering it's Miami, it's Brian Flores and all that. I think the surprising part for me really wound up being the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because not only Tom Brady, but Jameis Winston. Let's walk through that now. What was the reasoning behind, we're going to move on from Winston? And if they don't land Brady, are they still moving on from Winston?
Well, those are great questions. So the first part of it is that obviously Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich were brought in here as head coach and offensive coordinator, and Leftwich obviously a former quarterback in the league, to try to fix what nobody else had been able to fix, whether it was Dirk Cutter previously as the head coach, and Cutter was the offensive coordinator his rookie year in 2015. But with the previous staffs or with Bruce Arians and Leftwich now, fix the interceptions, fix the game-killing turnovers that we saw. And yeah, there was a lot of good. I mean, in Bruce Arians' own words, Sal, he said there was a lot of great, but then there's a lot of terrible. And so you have to weigh the great and the terrible and then try to figure out, can we win with this? And so I think step number one was they realized if the interception problem was ever going to get better, it was going to get better this past season. I'm not revealing a nuclear secret, am I? I mean, I don't think it takes Albert Einstein to figure out that if the interception problem was going to get better, it would have gotten better this past year with these guys helping him. And it just, as the year went on, it just continued and continued and continued. They were able to overcome some of the early interceptions later in the year against bad teams like Jacksonville, or when Atlanta was so beat up. The Detroit Lions were horrible and beat up when we played them in Detroit. In December. So you got away with throwing early interceptions in all of those games. But then you look at losing the Saints game at home in what was a massive game in November, and he had four turnovers in that game, three interceptions. You look at the Texans game that I think a lot of your listeners probably saw on that Saturday, where the Bucs were still in the playoff hunt, hoping for a wild card, and he threw interceptions on the first two possessions of the game. And you're looking at that saying, this is sealing his fate. You couldn't say it at that moment, but this is sealing his fate because it's not fixed. So then became the question, and Arians was very consistent, Sal, about this, of, okay, is there a better option? What is that better option? Are we going to stick with Jameis, and what kind of deal would he take if it is him? So all of that, I think, was in play, but really they were going in steps. Could they land Brady or another big free agent? And I know they had interest as well in Teddy Bridgewater, but so did a half dozen other teams that were willing to roll out money for him. And so this all moved very quickly over the course of two or three days earlier this week, and you saw Teddy Bridgewater didn't last very long before Carolina put a $50, $60 million contract. I don't know how much of that deal is guaranteed, but that, you know, he cashed in. So at that moment, it became, okay, let's go see if you can get Tom Brady, and maybe Jameis Winston is a fallback. If you cannot, But obviously, they were able to work everything out with Brady, had the room under the cap. And Jason Light deserves a lot of credit for having stockpiled the weapons and having the money under the cap to fit a $30 million quarterback in there, no matter who it was going to be. So full credit there. But, yeah, it's wild that that now what happens with Jameis? That's a whole other question. Where does he end up? Where does he end up? And does he have a chance to compete for a starting job after having been a starter the last 5 years?
About a month ago on our show here on WGR, I was in with Bulldog, and we did a exercise where he gave me all 32 teams, and I placed a starting quarterback and said, this is who I think is going to be starting everywhere in the league opening weekend. And when I was done with it, I did not have a landing spot for Winston. And I said, man, I'm stupid. How could Jameis Winston not have a starting job? I said, but that's the way it just worked out for me. But I really thought, okay, this is my problem. Yeah, right. I might get Brady wrong. I had Brady on the Raiders or whatever. That's fine. But what it really glared to me was I didn't have Winston on a team. And people even said, how could you not have Winston on a team? This makes this exercise stupid because he's going to. But here we sit. Everybody's finding a chair. The music's still going, and Jameis Winston's still walking around the circle.
Good point, and very valid point. And that's not to say that the music has stopped and there are no opportunities. He could go 3 hours up the road to Jacksonville, where they just traded Nick Foles to the Bears, and be there with the second-year quarterback Gardner Minshew, having started all these games, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the only thing is, you used to be in this state. Jacksonville is a humongous Gator town, and the Gators and FSU and the Seminoles, that is death rivalry. So would that part of the equation work out? I still wonder about the Chargers, like you mentioned. I thought, what do I know? I thought from a distance that made so much sense for Brady with the Hollywood angle going into the new stadium. They need to sell tickets. Blah, blah, blah. And now if you're the LA Chargers, you don't have Phillip Rivers. You didn't land the big fish at the moment. That may be a spot. Winston has trained in off seasons in California before, and maybe at a cheaper, maybe even a cheap price, maybe he ends up coming out there as a guy that is battling with Tyrod Taylor, who you know all about in Buffalo, or whomever else. If the Chargers draft someone, maybe he's there competing for the backup, competing to maybe suddenly be the starter if needed because of injury or poor play or whatever. Maybe that's a landing spot. We'll see. It's going to be fascinating over the next few days or so to see where does Jameis Winston land, or maybe he waits a while for all of this to unfold and does a one-year deal somewhere as a backup whenever there's a need. We'll see.
TJ Reeves, sideline reporter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, joining me here on the Sal Sports and Stuff podcast. Leading up to the games, obviously, doing your prep work, you know how this works. You watch the film, you see what's going on. And I did a lot of work on Brady last year to really see if it was him, if it was the offense, what was going on. I got to be honest with you, TJ, he was a different quarterback last year. There was clearly a decline in some areas. It doesn't mean he can't be better this year. It doesn't mean there weren't things going around that caused that, but he was missing throws he normally didn't miss. He did not at all want to get pressured. He threw the ball into the dirt. So everybody has, you know, Tom Brady, the greatest of all time. He is 43, though. He is coming off a year in which it did not go well for him. So what do you think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are getting in Tom Brady?
That's a great unknown. And at that age, I mean, there's a lot of people wondering, what does he have left? And you and I are contemporaries. I think I'm a little older than you are. We remember when Joe Montana still had something left, and I believe he was 35 or 36, yeah, not 43.
And they went to an AFC championship game here in Buffalo with Montana, by the way.
There you go. And Montana could no longer throw, because of the elbow surgery, et cetera, he could no longer throw the ball with big time zip down the field, long bombs, that kind of thing. But they still made it work in Kansas City. And really, over the last couple of years, Buffalo has made it work with let's kill everybody with the underneath stuff, the short routes, the pick routes.
You mean New England,
those kind of things. You know, we know that. You know that all too well. You've seen it too many times. And yet they rose to the occasion. I mean, there was a huge game with the Bills late in the year, and Brady did enough, throwing the ball to running backs or Edelman or whomever, to be able to get that done. I know their offensive line was bad last year. That affects everything. They didn't have a vertical threat last year to help stretch the defense, not one that could consistently get open and make things work. He has got a wealth of weapons with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and the two tight ends, O.J. Howard and Cameron Brait, and there will probably be a couple of others that will be in that mix, too, to be receivers. So that's not going to be an issue. The issue is going to be, like you mentioned, how does the line hold up? How does he hold up physically? And if he does, I mean, he's going to be in heaven with the type of weapons that you have, because you can't double team everybody. I think they really missed Gronkowski as the big physical security blanket to go down the field last year. Maybe they underestimated how much they were going to miss him, and I think that had an effect. The Bucs, again, have two big tight ends that can go down the field and catch the football in O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate. Let's see how that factors in here in Tampa Bay.
Are they a better team than the New Orleans Saints as we sit here today?
That's a great question, too, because the Saints have been a nemesis of this team, had a back and forth. I do know this. You got some wild stuff. NFC South games are now going to be on everywhere in prime time with Breeze back. And there's question marks about what he has left in the tank and how much arm he has left to be able to make deep throws. Atlanta now making the moves they're making with getting Dante Fowler and Todd Gurley. What does he have left to go around Matt Ryan for this year? And Bridgewater goes to Carolina, where they're trying to figure it all out. So the South gets really intriguing. But clearly the Saints have been the standard. You're right. The Saints have been the best team in the NFC South consistently for a decade. And why do I get the feeling that at least one of the games with New Orleans is going to be a primetime game? Probably so. And how about this for a juicy one? You mentioned the Raiders and Gruden the first year in Vegas. How about Brady and the Buccaneers at the Las Vegas Raiders, where we're scheduled to go on a Sunday night or a Monday night? How about that? You take that right now?
Yeah. I mean, look, we love schedule talk here in Buffalo. My colleague Mike Shope and I, we're both schedule geeks and schedule nerds, and we were both predicting that maybe the Buccaneers get the very first Sunday night game because of Brady, and the Bucs are probably going to be on primetime five or six times this year, and the Patriots might be on primetime twice, maybe, which is a very, very weird weird type of situation.
Yeah, it's a good point. And, you know, Buccaneers primetime appearances have been few and far between. They've had some years where they've had a good season or a winning season, and then suddenly you're on a Thursday night and a scheduled Monday night a couple of times in the year. But nothing like where you're in the hunt with this guy, with this kind of iconic Hall of Famer to be, and now suddenly NBC wants to flex your game. Now suddenly that Buccaneers-Falcons game means a whole lot more with both in the playoff hunt, because Tom Brady's there playing Matt Ryan, and so now that game becomes a Sunday night game or something like that. So there's some intriguing games that are definitely on the schedule, and we're all curious how soon that Raiders game will be in the new stadium. Some are wondering whether the Raiders would open on Monday Night Football as the second Monday night game, but they've given them that home game so many times. I think they've had it like three or four times as the second game of the doubleheader. Maybe they will make that the second game of the Monday night doubleheader, and might the Buccaneers be that opponent with Tom Brady in game one? Something to think about.
Well, when we fast forward. I did a little research on this. So here's the thing. I will tell you this. You can share this with anybody you want. Since they started playing that game in, I think it was, what year did they start doing the double Monday night thing? Back in 2009, maybe, somewhere around there. Since they started,
I think it was older than that, because it was born out of the Hurricane Katrina situation where they needed two Monday night games.
So 2006,
maybe. In the 2005 season, and so then I think that gave them the idea from then on, starting in 2006.
Yep. Okay.
We'll just do two of these.
Since 2006, I did the math on this. I went back and looked at every one of them. The NFL has never put an Eastern time zone team on the second game. They put two Central time zone teams, Minnesota and Green Bay, one time each, but they've never put an Eastern time zone team. Minnesota and Houston did it one time, but never an Eastern time zone team. That would be the first time they've ever done it if they choose the Buccaneers.
And usually it has been the Raiders or the 49ers or the Chargers, you know, one of the Western teams playing a division opponent, et cetera. But who knows? I mean, if it's the first game in the regular season in that stadium and it's the Bucs with Tom Brady, are you kidding me?
Totally agree.
That has more appeal than the Raiders, for example, in the first game in that stadium playing the Denver Broncos. We agree on that, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And obviously the Super Bowl this year is down there in Tampa. Don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but that would be an amazing thing to see Tom Brady actually, you know, go to Tampa. And I don't know if the rest of the country would love it, but it would be a pretty incredible story if that were to happen. And of course, I will say this, if you talk about the teams that he could have gone to, the Chargers, the Raiders, the Titans, all the teams in the mix, the Dolphins, the one team that is not on the Bills' schedule in 2020, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We do not have to see Tom Brady in 2020. He could have gone to any of those teams. The Bills would have had to play him because the Bills are scheduled to play all those Western teams. So unless it's preseason between us, buddy, we ain't seeing Tom Brady here in Buffalo for the first time in 20 years.
There you go. Well, so there should be much rejoicing in Western New York because he's had the keys to the car and the deed to the house and everything else for Buffalo and everything else in the AFC East. And so now it's a new day for the New England Patriots to try to figure it out. They have been the big brother. They've been the bully of that division. We'll see. And really, you know this because you used to be down in this area. The Buccaneers have been a punchline and a punching bag for a long time down in and around. And this is instant credibility. Now let's see what it looks like when the games are for real this fall. But a lot of excitement down here, that's for sure.
All right, before I let you go, last question. I kept you a little long here. I know Stephon Diggs, looking over his game logs, only played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers once in his career, and that was September of 2017. Yep. In that game, he was a monster, though. 8 catches, 173 yards, and 2 touchdowns. As an NFC guy, an observer, an analyst, what are the Bills getting in Stephon Diggs? Do you like the trade for Buffalo?
He's a tremendous big play receiver. I guess the only question mark, and I don't know him, I haven't covered him, is does he keep focused? I mean, there were obviously problems with Cousins. And does he become a problem if the ball's not coming to him enough, et cetera, in this situation? And yes, I remember that game well in Minnesota. And he did that to a lot of people throughout his few years, even with journeyman quarterbacks throwing him the ball before Kirk Cousins. So, yeah, Diggs is an interesting one on the move. There's been a blur of moves every which direction. We got to figure out what does Todd Gurley have left now that he's with the Atlanta Falcons. What does Bridgewater, as I mentioned, look like there? What are the Dolphins going to look like in your division with the remake that they have going on? And do they end up drafting Tua? And is Tua maybe the quarterback or not? Who knows? So there are a lot of variables for a lot of different teams. But, yeah, that's interesting for Buffalo to be bold. And how about what the Bills were willing to give up to Minnesota? And you've already covered this umpteen times, but it's amazing what the Bills were willing to give up to get Diggs and what the Cardinals got in DeAndre Hopkins without having to give up a number one pick. That's incredible.
It is incredible. And there's lots of jokes out there to be had about Bill O'Brien. I think more than anything, I think the Bills and Diggs deal was more fair for both sides, whereas the other one with Houston, I mean, it just, you know, what was Houston thinking? And, you know, Bill O'Brien in that situation. Hey, buddy, I'm going to let you go. Get back to the girls. Do what you got to do. Stay safe. Practice social distancing. You and I are a couple thousand miles apart, so we don't have to worry about that. But maybe we'll see each other in the preseason if it works out, but certainly not in 2020. Good luck with Tom Brady down there.
Yes, always love talking with you. Great to be on with you. Take care of the little guy and the wife. Everybody be safe out there. We will have football eventually once we get through all of this. Great to chat with you, Sal.
And thanks to my man TJ Reeves for joining me on the Sal Sports and Stuff podcast, episode number 16. Be on the lookout for more. We're just going to keep trying to put out the content as much as we can to help all of you out there. And obviously the Bills today making some announcements that they did officially complete the Stephon Diggs trade. Dean Marlowe, I've been told, is going to return to the team. So if you haven't already heard that, if they haven't announced that, that will be coming, I'm sure, very shortly. And we got your free agency tracker at WGR550.com. Download, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you do so here on Sal Sports and Stuff. Thanks for tuning in again.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with 2 Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with 2 Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.